Hi, my name is Francis.
And I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on movies, music, TV, and pop culture. Specifically, two friends.
I don't know why you're making such a distinction. It's always been two.
It's like one, two, finish. That's it.
No three.
No more, no less.
So I thought we'd start today with just a little recap on our Korean drama adventure of business proposal for now. We still have yet to watch the finale of 25/21. We're saving that for weekend activity.
Mm-hmm. Have you been spoiled? Because I've avoided all spoilers.
I think I saw one thing. I'm not sure now that there's business proposal 25/21 now having... having now finished business proposal. So we'll see.
Okay. I am spoiler-free, ready to have my mind blown or just to feel like utter despair, sadness, despondent, no purpose in life, love doesn't exist, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see.
Sounds like a great weekend activity that we'll do together. I'll bring the tissues.
Yes, please. But we have gotten the finale of Business Proposal, a short and sweet 12 episodes, and the finale came out yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, Alice, how do you feel? Was the ending up to par? Did you feel that all the loose ends were tied up? What are your thoughts? How did it end?
To be quite honest, I did think that the ending was a little bit anticlimactic. I don't know how you felt about it. And I wonder if it's just being... Okay, so I feel like this with a lot of TV shows, you know, half of it is really just the chase, the will they, won't they, like just get together, like that anticipation, I think is like the maybe majority of the journey. And then when they're together, it's like, cool.
Cool, you did it.
We're good now. So almost like at the end of the last episode, when they do inevitably get together, okay, you know, like a date plus, I guess, beyond dating, like marriage, whatever, getting approval from the grandpa, all that sort of stuff, the stuff that we'd been building up towards. I did feel like I was like, oh, yeah, like because I already knew it was going to happen. I think I felt like, oh, yeah, whatever, like it's over now. I didn't feel like it was like any big, like, gesture. The proposal kind of came as a surprise, but it didn't feel like majestic, if that makes sense. In a Korean drama, you kind of want those grand gestures. You kind of want those big moments because, I mean, it's just the fun of it, right? What I am glad for, though, and this is controversial, but I'm glad that there was no wedding.
Can't be bothered. Wouldn't that have been a big majestic scene?
I guess so, but it's just kind of like, well, it'll just be like 5 minutes of her walking down the aisle. I'm like, I don't need that, right?
Yeah.
It would have been cute, though, to see like pictures at the end maybe of her wedding. So her in her wedding dress and then him in his suit. And obviously they look really good together. In terms of the friend, I feel like the father storyline was chucked in at the end, so I wonder if they should have woven that in early, which they kind of didn't hint at, but they didn't really like fully flesh out until like that last episode, I think it was, where it was just like, by the way, I don't approve of this, go away, and it solved so quickly. So I think it's something that you had mentioned, they didn't dwell on like issues past like one or two episodes, and we liked the pacing, but I think for that particular storyline it just felt like a little bit quick, maybe, because I did feel like quite a severe block in the relationship. There. I think those are my initial like thoughts of those last two episodes. I'm like, I'm happy. It definitely was like still fun, but there were just bits where I'm like, okay, like it felt like it was just quickly wrapping up.
Yeah. It did seem like that, especially the best friend couple, where, like you said, the dad is suddenly like, I don't approve, you have to break up with my daughter, blah blah blah. That was very sort of tacked on and like last minute conflict to just, I don't know,
give some
extra drama to that relationship. But I thought it was cool that she was just like, no, I'm going to quit and make it on my own. And then it was like, very conveniently, her boyfriend is mega rich. So it's like, no worries.
No worries at all. But yeah, wouldn't it have been nice if they had done that a little bit earlier? Because then it would have made that resolution of her like walking away feel much more like satisfying.
Mm.
Yeah. But it
instead
is
of just randomly like it just quickly happened in a couple of minutes. Yeah.
I think it was also like kind of quickly mentioned that it happened before to previous boyfriends and they just kind of took that like money and then left. So yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have seen a little bit more of that? And then, you know, when she walks away, you're like, yeah, you go, girl.
Yeah, fighting girl.
Even though I don't really agree with what she says in that. You know how she was like, oh, I don't need your name or anything to like get by. And it's like, know your place. Let's not like
disregard. Let's not pretend.
Yeah. Your whole career is based on nepotism. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just like facts, right?
But it's like facts, yeah. There's no avoiding it. Yeah. I guess, yeah, in the main couple, one thing it was, so the second to last episode, there's always, at the end, they have like a spicy scene. I was like messaging you as I was watching it. And I was just like, oh my God. oh my God. Like, it just keeps ramping up.
Because you watched this before I did, and then you're messaging me like, oh my God, this is spicy, it doesn't feel like I should be watching this. And like, and I think it was like during workouts. I was like, I have no clue what she's going on about, right? And then when I was watching the episode at night, I think I had that in my mind. I was like, where is this scene gonna be? And it was like right at the very end. So I was like, oh, it's happening now. Because I could see like that episode, you know how you can see the bar like slowly pass by as time goes by. It was like nearing the end. I'm like, I still haven't seen anything.
I see, where's the spice?
I was like, I don't get it, right? But yeah, it's like the very, very end. It was actually like funny, I think, because I could like, you know, I think watching it and then just like knowing like the commentary, I think it's just like a bit of fun, right? Because it's like spicy for a Korean drama, but it was not spicy at all. Like, I kind of wanted more. I just wanted him to just like throw her on the bed or something, but I'm like, he just like gently placed her. So I think it's funny because it's like, yeah, it's spicy, but it's also like not spicy at the same time.
Yeah, because I feel like for a Korean drama, like we have very different expectations of what spicy can look like. Like, I think it's just a couple of years ago. It's like a kiss used to be literally just like lips touching, no movement, like two statues just barely pressing their lips together. That was like spice. And we were all like, ooh, when they kissed.
Yeah.
But now they're slowly introducing like, I guess, more, I don't know, a big kiss, as our friend Ryan says. Where like actual there's movement and like contact between the bodies.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to like sex scenes, it used to be just like, maybe they fell into bed and then it was just like fade to dark instantly. But this one, I think I was like, oh, wow, this is very raunchy for a Korean one. Mm-hmm. He actually took his shirt off.
He took his shirt off.
And there was like straddling.
Yeah.
Which I was like,
Yeah, it was like, it was more than you'd expect, I think. Yeah. I think the first, because I think there was a gap where we didn't really watch like many Korean dramas, right? Mm-hmm. And it was What's Wrong with Secretary Kim with Park Seo-joon. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh my God, like these kiss scenes have gone so far. Like you could actually see like lips moving.
Yeah.
And then like passion was being acted out, I suppose. Like, and then there was like a bed scene as well.
Yeah.
Which we saw like a little bit of. This was like even more than that though. Like there was definitely like movement and it wasn't just like one scene or like one quick, you know, 5 second thing. It was like multiple locations, like slowly making it to. Making it to bed, which is like,
it was still
so conservative in many, many ways. Like, only he took his shirt off, and like, so she was like wearing like full clothing.
She had like a skirt all the way down to her feet, like a non skirt.
Yeah, like she's very, I think her character also just like wears very like conservative clothing. So she's wearing like stockings and a skirt and a blouse. But there was definitely, like, at least they were acting it out. Like, they were just, you know, two statues, as you say, just, like, pressing their lips together. They were actually, like, kind of going for it. But I could tell that they were holding back, for sure.
You wanted more.
I just wanted more because I'm like, okay, guys, like if you're gonna go this far, you might as well like go a little bit further and make it feel like more natural. I think that's kind of like part of it, right, as well. That you know, if that was to happen in real life, it wouldn't look like that at all.
Yeah.
You know, there might be more movement.
It started out like them just kissing, and then they went to a wall, and then he picked her up, carried her to a table, and I was like, oh my god, like this is. This is R-rated. Like, this is naughty stuff. And then they moved to the bed, and when he took off his shirt, I was like, oh, just typing to you madly, like,
this is wrong.
This is my pure eyes are being soiled. Meanwhile, I just like watched Bridgerton last week. Going at it.
Yeah, it's so funny because you almost like set up the expectations. It's almost like two mindsets. So when we watch a Korean drama, I think we set ourselves up for like those particular tropes and those particular scenes. So any like love scenes, kiss scenes, we already know what they're going to look like. And it's not going to be anything like you'd expect from like Bridgerton, for example. Mm-hmm. But we already know that coming in. So like when something like, you know, challenges that, that trope, it's almost like a whoa. Who allowed this?
Steady on, please. I didn't prepare myself.
Exactly. It's almost like alarming, right? Because you're just like shocked.
When that shirt came off, I was like, oh my god, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to look. I feel like I shouldn't be seeing this.
And I think it's funny too, because I think, was it you who mentioned that actually the webtoon which this drama is based on is actually quite raunchy, like in many parts, especially
seen online. Yeah,
I'm thinking like of the secretary and her best friend. Like apparently they have like really raunchy, I guess, or like a better word, raunchy scenes like in the webtoon, okay, which we did get like bits of in the drama, but like nothing to this extent. So I think when they throw like this scene in, it's just like, whoa, like in stark contrast even to a like saucier scene that you've kind of seen before. So it's like, okay, that's more body and much longer. I think it was the length of it.
Long, it kept going. Love that for us.
Yeah. Anyway, I would love to see more of that in dramas, to be honest. Like it's romance, want them, right?
Yeah.
Like part of it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we spent a very long time on that bed scene, but essentially
it was worth unpacking.
I mean, it just like Korea's going in the right direction.
We love it.
We love it. I mean, yeah, overall it was cute. It was like, I think I agree with you that episode 12 was just sort of like wrapping things up. There was this last minute long distance relationship, blah blah blah. But there was no doubt that they would end up together. And I think I would have liked maybe after the proposal, a bit of their life afterwards, maybe some fun hijinks at work or with her friends or, I don't know, the families together, like the grandpa watching a K-drama with her dad or, I don't know, something to just round it off. But because it was just like, will you marry me? And when he got her two rings and I was like, damn.
Because he's rich.
He opened the box and there was two rings inside. I was like.
Maybe one was for him.
Maybe
no idea.
But anyway, he just kind of proposes and they're like, okay, bye. And then the ending song comes on. I was like, I would have appreciated like maybe an epilogue.
Yeah, like pictures, right? Of weddings. Just of them. Or maybe them at their wedding or them at their friend's wedding. That would have been pretty cute. But I also wonder as well the source material, like where that ends and like how it's taken that. So I wonder if there's more. So that's why they've kind of just stopped at this point. I'm not really sure. But yeah, it just feels a little bit sudden when he just like takes out a ring. He's just like, oh, by the way, like it's not even like a, you know, like a setup. He's just like, I mean, I guess
he's just on a walk.
Yeah, he's kind of on a walk. And I guess he did come to it from America. For her. But it just didn't feel like big enough, you know.
He should have rented out a whole theme park and then he clicks a button and all the lights come on and fireworks.
That's how you know he cares.
Yeah, the bare minimum, to be honest. Overall, I love this drama. I think it was just 12, super sweet, super tropey, but in the best way. So watchable. The leads had amazing chemistry, not just like the couples, but I think the friendships, the families, everyone just like on their A game. I loved it. just yeah. a banger of a K-drama for me.
Yeah, like it really just worked, I think, on all those levels that you mentioned. Yeah, super fun, a pleasure to watch, great pacing, good story. What more can we want from a Korean drama?
And I will be following An Hyo-seop and his future dramas because...
Just add another boyfriend to the list, right?
I just so many. I can't even keep track of them.
Sometimes I forget their names.
And then I scroll past them on Instagram, like, oh, I remember him.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Business Proposal. Highly recommend it if you're in the market for a new fun drama. Would you recommend it to people who haven't watched Korean dramas before, though?
I wonder if it's funnier if you do know them and like the kind of meta references to how the K-dramas have been in the past and the tropes and all that. I wonder if that makes it more fun for us because we know the context of it.
Yeah, like we've already, as I said, like we've set ourselves up for like what it's supposed to deliver. So when it delivers more, you're kind of like in, I wonder. Because I think like when I think about Korean dramas, like Crash Landing on You, that's something I would have recommended to people who don't
normally
watch a genre. Because I think it has enough in there that it's, what's the word for it? Accessible.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's just like a good story, good characters, but there's no like real barriers or like things that you wouldn't understand about the story, I think.
Yeah, because I think it's like serious enough. It's just silly.
I wonder if Business Proposal as well is so specifically rooted in that stereotype of the rich family, the Chaebol family, and the ways like the blind dates and the contracts, like it's all just so rooted in that long history of like what Korean dramas have been in the past that... Maybe if you're not familiar with that dynamic, like that, potentially.
It's hard to say because you can't unsee all the dramas we've watched in our lives. It's hard to step back and be like, what would someone who's never watched anything like this before, like think of drama? Maybe they would love it. Like maybe if you love like romantic comedies in general, because I would say a lot of those tropes overlap, maybe you would enjoy it.
I reckon if you love rom-coms, I think yes.
Yeah, purely just for that relationship factor, right?
Yeah. The two amazing relationships that we see.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah, as we said, great chemistry between the cast.
I will miss them. It was a good one.
That was a good run.
And now I'm prepared to have my heart broken by 2521.
Namjoo, please. I'm so stressed. I'm a little bit stressed.
I'm so stressed.
Yeah, because I'm like, I have no idea what's going to be thrown at us. I think it would be good to do a recap at the end from a more objective point of view, because I think we've just kind of like gone for the ride, just kind of like accepted what's being given to us. But I wonder how like it aligns as a like drama in general and like the story.
As a whole?
As a whole, yeah. I think like, yeah, we'll see. It depends on the ending. I think this one, like, yeah, for 2521, I think a lot rides on how they wrap it up.
Because
I think with Business Proposal, couldn't screw that up.
Yeah, yeah. There was no doubt. Zero. Yeah. No.
And you knew exactly what to expect. So you could already tell that it was going to be good. But yeah, 2521, we'll see.
We'll see. I'm going to show up. No eyelashes, no eyeliner. Ready to cry.
Yeah.
Bare face, bare heart, vulnerable.
Bare heart.
Everything.
Bring a plushie or something, you know, emotional. A blankie.
Yeah. My Udi. Just need to feel safe.
Sounds great, to be honest. And then I guess on a side note, I don't know how to transition this, but this has been something that we wanted to talk about for a while, but like, I may.
Anime.
Manga? So
anime and manga.
Wow, that was excellent pronunciation. Sorry, I think I did anglify that pronunciation. I apologize. But what specifically did we want to talk about with anime and manga?
I mean, I guess one of the updates is that we're going to go to Smash this year, which is like an anime convention held, I think, all over the country, but we will go to the Sydney one, obviously.
Are you laughing?
I don't know. Are we weeds?
I wouldn't classify myself. I feel like I'm not cool. Weirdly enough, I don't think I'm cool enough to call myself a weeb. Is that a weird sentence to say? I think not in 2022, but I think for sure, like growing up in high school, your dad had more negative connotations, I want to say. But yes, so smash 2022. I want to go for the atmosphere for sure. Mm. I think it'll be really fun to be surrounded by people who love something very dearly. Community vibes, etc., etc.
So I've never been to Smash, so this will be my first one, and I'm assuming it same goes for you. You've never been to any of these anime conventions or anything? Yeah,
never been. I didn't even know like it was called Smash. Like I knew there was a convention, but I didn't know what it was called. So when someone asked me about going to Smash, I was like, "I'm sorry, can you please tell me what that is?" You know, once I knew what it was, I was very happy to attend. I'm just so unaware. I think I've been so out of the loop for a lot of these like events because I think it's not really like our world per se. I mean, we're dabblers as
we're casuals.
Casuals in that world. But I mean, very appreciative. I think one of the things I am most excited for is to see people cosplay.
Oh my God, me too.
I've always been very fascinated by that.
Yeah. So I knew about Smash only in the sense that occasionally, like if you went into the city on a certain day, you'd walk past a million people in cosplay, and it's like not even just like just dressing up, but like full on professional. Like they made their own molds and like designed, and they look like they have the weapons, and everything is so detailed, like that level of professional cosplaying. So it always looked cool. Like I'm, you know. It's always so admirable, like the amount of effort that people put into it, like the passion is so clear. So I think I'm with you. Just to be able to see that in real life, I think will be worth the ticket price and the experience and the time to go there.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think in addition to that, there's like panels, so like experts talking about how they maybe work on these anime/manga like stories. I think that'd be really interesting. So just from a technical point of view.
A learning experience.
Love learning about culture.
Love expanding our horizons.
And I know when I mentioned this to you, I think you mentioned Jackie had gone to a convention earlier, and I had the audacity to ask you if you had fun. And the way you looked at me was like, are you like, that's like the dumbest thing you've ever said in your life.
Is 1 + 1 = 2?
like, yeah, of course he had fun. So I guess to give some context, our dear Jackie loves anime so super deeply.
He's an official weeb for sure. So
he's an official weeb before weebs are cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, but what's your relation to anime? Because I think I'm even more casual than you. Like, I'm super casual that I fear that even going to Smash is like I'm committing an offense. Like, I'm a fake. I'm a pretender.
You're a what's the term for someone who's super casual?
I don't know. A noob?
I guess like it probably would have started from high school. I think like that's where I started to I think more like Japanese culture, and I'm talking like music, fashion. I think anime kind of plays into that as well as manga. Like they kind of go hand in hand, right? They're all kind of like influence each other in a way. So I don't even know like the first one that I watched, to be honest, and I don't know how this got introduced, and I feel like maybe it started from watching like Cheese TV, like
I think that's the gateway for because for me as well, what I watched on all the anime I watched came from Cheese TV. It was like Pokemon, Cardcaptor, Sailor Moon, like even Dragon Ball, all the it was Cheese Ball. I mean, not Cheese TV. I think a lot of Aussie kids will be like, Cheese TV was a gateway into anime. Yeah.
And it's not super obvious that it's anime, because I say that like because I don't think it ever like occurred to me until like much later in life that actually what I was watching was anime.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all like dubbed in English. It, you know, the hosts, they were two like white guys, like youngish white guys who were introducing this episode. So it just felt like normal TV, to be honest.
Just cartoons, right?
Yeah. Right. And like those cousins are really good. So it didn't even like occur. And then later in life, you realize actually there are Japanese animations and there's actually more of them weirdly enough.
A whole country full of them.
So yeah, I wonder what the first one beyond like Chase TV was. Mm. I have a feeling it could have been something like Naruto that I would have been introduced to via my brother. So we used to watch Naruto together like on the weekends or like after school or something like that. I guess a continuation of our Dragon Ball Z days where we used to like record that 8 o'clock session because I had to go to school. So it was like from 8 to 8:30 and we'd watch that after school together back in the day of daily TV. So we couldn't get like all the episodes like in one go as we can now. We had to wait.
It's these days we'll never know what it was like.
So, yeah, so we used to watch, like, Naruto together. And then I think from there kind of, like, started, like, okay, there's more. And I think I discovered more. They call it shoujo, the anime that's and manga that's, like, more targeted towards younger females.
Yeah, teenage girls, yeah, young girls,
like,
yeah.
Like, Cardcaptors kind of sits in there. As well as Sailor Moon. But I want to say a shout-out to Nana, which made a huge impression on me as I was growing up in high school. I think the part of it – and when I watch it now, I think I get why I really, like, grabbed onto it. At the time, I was just like, oh, like, this is really, like, interesting. The fashion's obviously a huge selling point for this anime and for, I guess, that artist as well. Like, all her work has been rooted in fashion. So I think that's what really appealed to me at that time. But thinking about it now, I'm like, oh, actually, it was about, like, young girls, like, forming their own lives, forming their own, like, young adult lives in the world, Tokyo, and trying to make it big, trying to work on their careers, on their relationships, and then finding comfort in a friendship that was, like, kind of by chance. I'm like, I definitely wasn't thinking that when I was, like, 15 years old, you know what I mean? But, like, thinking about it now, I'm like, that's probably why I grabbed onto it, because it was a story about two young girls, basically.
Yeah.
Figure things out.
You're actually reminding me, because I think a lot of the other anime that I got introduced to was through Japanese class in high school. So basically, our Japanese teacher, like, every Wednesday would just be like, for class, we're watching anime, turn on an anime and, like, leave. And, you know, more power to her. Like, I would have done the same thing, to be honest. Like, you go, queen.
Look, but those are the best classes of high school.
It was like a win-win. She got some free time to do whatever she wanted. We just got to watch anime. Yeah. But it was there that I got introduced to, like, Naruto, like you said, like Bleach, Love Hina, like all these different ones, and also J dramas as well was that's how I watched it. And I think also through friends I got to learn more about manga and like Fruits Basket and Marmalade Boy. And that's when like I read more manga and stuff. So I'd also read a lot of like Clamp's things like Chobits and XXX Loveholic and all that sort of stuff. And I think for me, even though as much as I liked it, especially the manga portion, like the fact that it takes ages and it's released chapter by chapter and like stories never finish and it goes on for years, like I have zero patience for that. So I think that's where I would love to stay with this story, but I just cannot give it my attention. Like I don't have the attention span or the patience for that. And I think that probably can apply to animes as well, because some of them just go on for years and years and years, like One Piece or something. And I'm just like, I can't. I don't have the willpower to stick around for these stories. So I think that's where my interest sort of like dropped off. Whereas I know a lot of our friends, like they've stayed with some stories for years and years and years, which love that for you. I guess I just don't have that quality.
I think it definitely takes dedication. I think I used to kind of sidestep that because I think I had the same impatience for those stories as well. There were definitely ones that were like completed, so I would gravitate usually towards those. I think it was basically Inanna that I really like kept up with, and then that never ended up finishing. So
yeah.
I think that was just like it is what it is. Like it's not anyone's fault really. Like things like Love Hina, I think like had an ending. So those are the stories that I would usually like go towards because I'm like, okay, it's finished. After I read these 30 volumes, it'll be good.
There'll be an ending.
There'll be something for me at the end, basically.
Yeah,
Love Hina, that's a throwback. that's the one where the guy lives in the house full of women and then he always gets nosebleeds.
Yes.
It's such a strange one to think about now.
It's a strange one to show children in like year 7 as well. Like, I don't know what you were, I guess we're learning a language.
I read like Death Note. One I think also was really good. And then I used, yeah, like or more the shoujo kind of vibes. I never really watched or read Family Boy or Fruits Basket. I watched one called like Rosen Maiden, which I think also I appealed.
About that. Yeah, I think yeah. I dabbled in that.
Fighting dolls. Like
yes,
fighting
that one.
Dolls,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And there were just like other bits and pieces that I picked up. And then I think for me, I think like a lot of my exposure came through friends. And then in uni, it kind of just like dropped off as much as I like continued studying Japanese. I feel like I didn't like keep up with the pop culture of Japan at the time, the new stuff that was coming out. And then I just like, I think I just like never got back. Whereas I think some of our friends, including you, have like continually stayed with it or have come back to it. And I think you like consistently watch anime.
I do now. Yeah. And I tell you what brought me back.
Is it also, wait, I think also it's more accessible now because I feel like during that uni period, you either had to download it or finding it was really hard. You had to go on sites that would give you viruses or you had to buy it, which was expensive and didn't have the money for it. So I think that's another factor where I just didn't have access. Whereas I think now we're in a very different environment. You just like log into Netflix and there's actually so many options for you.
Yeah. I guess like if we to go back to the high school, it was not accessible, as you said, but we liked it enough to seek it and put in the effort towards it. I think in uni that's when Netflix was introduced, and I think because of that and all the streaming platforms that kind of come with it, we're almost spoiled for choice. So I think we diverted our attentions to that. Well, I know for us too, we diverted our attentions to like that very Western media consumption, right? And it's only, I guess, like a recent thing where I don't know. You're right. It's just become so accessible now. Like I can just go onto Netflix and find like all these popular animes, all these popular dramas and stuff. So I'm like, well, I don't have to try very hard and I can still get these things that I would love to still watch. I wouldn't know, to be honest, were there until like Netflix puts it on its homepage. But yeah, so what I hadn't like really kept up with that world until I think it was Demon Slayer. So like there was huge hype around it. And then it became available on Netflix that first season. So I was like, let me just see how it goes.
Yeah. And like, then.
Yeah, like it totally drew me back in. I was like, oh, it's so good. Like I loved all the fight scenes. And to be fair, the fight scenes in animes now have come a long, long way. They're very dynamic. As you can imagine, the technology has improved a lot. Like the colors and the characters, I think they were all things that were quite familiar to me because I'd also, you know, like watch Naruto and things like that. So those like, I guess, tropes, if you want to call them, for that particular genre were familiar and like still good, I think, in my opinion. And then I guess I went on to like Jujutsu Kaisen because that was something that I think someone had recommended. Well, I think it was actually Ryan who recommended it. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll give it a go because potentially it sounds like something I like. And like, yeah, that I absolutely love. Like, you know, like that's a big, big love for me at the moment.
She has t-shirts. That's how much she loves it.
I think what has drawn me to that more than like Demon Slayer, which I still enjoy, is I think the style of the drawing as well. Like,
yeah,
I think that appeals to me more, as well as like the darker thematic whatever overtones of it. Like it just seems like a darker, more adult version of Demon Slayer because I think like the drawings make it kind of kiddie, and I don't say that in a bad way at all. It's just, it's like, you know, the big anime eyes and stuff are like it's accessible for children, I guess, even though it is quite like gory and all that whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jujutsu Kaisen definitely has been a big draw for me. And I think from there, it's slowly been like, well, what else can I explore within this genre? And that includes manga, which I think I had forgotten about, to be quite honest. I forgot about reading in general.
But she can read. Just PSA, Alice can read.
Like, you know, like that period where, like, you know, it was Netflix, it was Binge, it was Stan, it was Disney. It was I'm like, I don't need to read anymore.
I don't have time to read. I have so much to watch.
Like, yeah, like why would I read when I can just watch it?
Yeah.
And I don't have to like pay like half as much attention, basically. But yeah, so because of that, I have like started to explore more of like that manga side. So like reading Jujutsu Kaisen, I start reading Tokyo Ghoul and even the Junji Ito, which I was like, well, why didn't I read this before? Because like definitely these are things that I all like. They're all the same genre that I've always liked. So it's like, well, why wouldn't I explore more medium, I guess, of it? But yeah, I guess that's kind of like where I'm at the moment. It just makes me like feel more open to watching things now.
Yeah. And I guess we're also like dabbling now in like webtoons and just like ways of consuming media.
I forgot about webtoons. Yeah, that was a big thing for us as well last year.
Yeah.
True Beauty.
Oh.
I think, yeah, the way that that webtoon grabbed me. My God. I couldn't stop.
Her little fingers are scrolling.
And I think also because that app is very like mobile app optimized. Yeah. Like, more so than other like manga and stuff. I just, yeah, your finger just keeps going. It's just so quick.
For me, like anime in particular is more accessible. So I see it. But I guess I just like don't know where to start. I'm like, there's just so much now. Like what do I watch? So very recently I watched a couple of episodes of Jujutsu Kaisen based on your recommendation. And the way you lured me, hooked me in was by describing a man with beautiful eyes. And I was like, I'm in.
I knew what she'd like.
That is an excellent way of selling something to me. And I have to say, it was pretty entertaining. And the episodes are so short, but I was like so surprised by how quickly I got through like 4 episodes. I was like, yeah, I'll just read the next one. Okay, I'll just like keep watching. I was like, okay, this is pretty good. But for me, I'm also just like scared. I'm like, the manga hasn't finished, or like, will this be 20 years of my life? Will it end without getting a satisfying ending? It just feels like commitment. And I'm like, am I ready for this?
It's definitely commitment. But I think, I wonder if there's, I mean, if I'm to use One Piece, I've never like read it or watched it. But the way that that story has developed over the years, people find it really rewarding. So maybe there's something in there that, you know, if you were to consume, for example, something over many, many years, I'm sure development, if you can make it intriguing, keep it intriguing, yeah, there must be something in it. I wonder if it's worth trying just once.
Just once.
Just 1 year, Francis. Just 1 year.
So, okay, you've recommended Jujutsu Kaisen for me, but would you recommend anything else for someone who wants to dip their toes back into anime or hasn't started yet and is interested in exploring the genre?
That's a lot of pressure. I don't actually watch that much, to be honest. I just like,
as our resident expert,
I just grabbed onto like a couple and was like, these are the ones. I think more so than like Jujutsu Kaisen, like Demon Slayer is the one that's grabbed a lot of people. I think the story does go a little bit quicker than Jujutsu Kaisen, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's why a lot of people liked it. I think Attack on Titan as well. I'm not up to date, but it is like a more political based anime that still has like those fight scenes and all that kind of thing. But it's a more serious overtone.
Okay. What about Bunny Senpai?
I have not watched that. You're going to have to ask someone else for whether that's worth it or not.
Wait, check your phone. Oh, actually, one thing I tried to watch was Haikyuu, because a lot of our friends are into volleyball and subsequently are very much into the anime Haikyuu. Oh, Alice is losing her mind at the photo I just sent. This is in response to your question. Did Jackie enjoy Smash?
Man, he looks like he has, like, this is like the happiest day in his life. The smile on his face, the expression, it's one of intense excitement, I think.
He's next to two cosplayers wearing, female cosplayers wearing like battle armor, but the battle armor is like bikinis.
They look so good though.
They look amazing, but yeah, this man is enjoying having the time of his life, so I hope that answers your question.
The friend next to him is also enjoying moment in time a lot, but anyway, that is good. That's a good picture. I think it captures exactly the emotion.
But yes, Haikyuu, I tried to watch and I just like could not get into it. And I think that was one other thing where I was like, oh my God, so many people like this. This is like the anime why don't I like this? Is there something wrong with me?
Well, I think I gave that one a go too, and I think that one wasn't for me as well. And I wonder if it's just because it's a sports anime.
What?
Yeah.
I love fencing now, thanks to 2521.
I don't know. There's just something about it. Maybe it's worth revisiting.
Mm.
I'm not sure. That being said, Yuri on Ice, which I think we talked about on the ice skating, I did actually watch.
Anime like that.
I actually did watch a good chunk of the season, like season one. I think it was only one season.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. I did quite enjoy it. Yeah. It's more of like that underdog story. I think all sports animes are kind of like that, to be honest, though. Like, there's someone really like rooting to win, and there has to be adversity, right? So they can't be like the best, or maybe they are, but there's like something has to overcome something. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
So yeah, I didn't mind the Yuri on Ice. I thought that was pretty good, and that's a sports anime. So I'm not sure what it is about Haikyuu that hasn't really grabbed us, to be quite honest.
Mm.
Yeah, there's so many to explore. Like, there's so many like famous ones that I've not even tried, on like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Fruits Basket, as they said.
Yeah. Maybe I'll watch Beastars.
I'm gonna watch that one.
It's like more serious Zootopia.
Interesting. The one I did watch on Netflix was Doro He Doro.
What's that about?
So it's, I guess it's like a dystopian society where people who like a sorceress, they come to this world to kind of like mess around.
Mm.
It's kind of like that, like a more like gory horror style.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix, so it's pretty easily accessible.
Okay, maybe I need a cute romancy one to get back.
Yeah, like the ones I've watched are probably not the most cutesy. The ones I've seen recently, like Parasite, The Way of the House Husband. Have you watched?
But, oh, yeah, I've heard of that one. I've actually seen panels from it, from the manga.
Yeah, I've seen the animated version of it, but I think it's not far from the manga. Like, that's pretty, like entertaining. Like, there's, like, short sequences. And more, like, skits. Like, set up more, like, skits. Yeah.
That's the right way to describe it, yeah.
Mm. I'm sure there's, like, so many that you could explore. You know, there's so many minute genres within.
I mean, we're going back to, you know, in these recent years, we've gone back to K-pop, K-dramas. Time for me to just jump back into anime, I guess.
I think so. Just embrace it.
Yeah. I love it. And it's, you know what? It's cool now. It's cool to like anime now. It's not like our childhoods where we had to hide, you know, turn away from our culture. It's like, no, we can be proud and open about it now.
In a way, that makes me, like, so sad for, like, our former selves that we had to, like, not embrace it. Because now I have a colleague whose son, like, he's just started high school. Like, he openly embraces his love for Naruto, for Demon Slayer, and I think the other one's, like, My Hero Academia. Like, he just, like, openly loves them, buys their costumes from Amazon.
Yeah.
He has a katana. I think it's insane.
Oh my
mom would never. So kudos to her for allowing that to happen. He has like these cloaks from Naruto as well, and like the headpiece. And
wow,
it's like actually like crazy how much stuff he has.
Yeah,
but he like just genuinely loves it.
Mm.
So I'm like, I want that energy to just be like, yeah, I love something. So what? But I don't think we had that energy in high school, to be quite honest. Like, we had our safe space within the school, but beyond that, you probably wouldn't have, you know, talked about it so openly, I think.
I think so. And stuff like T-shirts and other merchandise would be, like, at-home stuff or with friends stuff. Mm. It wouldn't just be you'd go out in, like, a anime T-shirt.
Because
it's sort of, like, just that niggling doubt in your mind where this is not cool. Or people
would just that little bit uncool. I don't know if it's cool now, but I will do it. Like, I feel maybe it's an age thing where I feel like, whatever, like, I don't care.
Who the fuck cares? Yeah. So you can judge me all you want.
Yeah, like, so what if I'm not cool? Like, that's, like, whatever. Like, it's fine.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, remember when we went to a friend's house and we watched that MMA fight or whatever, and he loved anime and he kept doing the Naruto, the finger thingies?
Mm-hmm.
What a world we live in now. Like, that was incredible. He just couldn't stop talking about anime.
I mean, that's something to be said as well. I think there are a few famous athletes who do like anime, right?
Mm.
None of them are actually Asian. the way. So I wonder, I wonder if we just like see them as cool because only do they like anime, but they're foremost an athlete, which is the coolest thing you can be, right? You know, as much as we say anime is cool now, the jock has always been the coolest. The jock stereotype like still stands true, I think.
And I'm definitely not a jock.
So like they're a jock, but in addition, they're also like a nerd or something. So I wonder if that kind of plays into it. That's definitely like a think piece.
Someone write that article.
Not me. Just putting the idea out there. Like it's not like simply. Yeah. So I think there's like more to it than, you know, simply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Like it is cool that they like these things so openly and that we can appreciate them and be like, they're a nerd, but that's fine. And, you know. More to
well, I think it's like, I think it's very similar to Henry Cavill. Like he's a big nerd. He loves Warhammer and painting all those mini figurines. But it's like he's Henry Cavill. He looks the way he does. He has the body that he does. So it's like, no, it's just like, wow, he's so much more relatable. But he's still Henry Cavill.
Yeah, like top,
just the dweeb.
Like the top title is still Henry Cavill, right? It's not Warhammer addict or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, I wonder if that kind of plays into your bias. You're like, oh, wow, suddenly Warhammer's really cool, even though we know deeply that it's really not.
Also as well, so, I mean, are we potentially going to do a tiny bit of dressy uppy for Smash? a little bit.
We'd love to. And I'll say this because I think we've been dying to, like, dress up for Halloween for a while. Saying that, we like the idea of it, but I think in actual practice we probably don't want to put in that much effort, to be quite honest.
We are very lazy.
Yeah. And I think Smash kind of plays into that, like, wanting to, like, dress up. But I think it's maybe easier to. Or, like, we found things that we can dress up for Smash in particular that we wouldn't want to dress up for Halloween. And then we kind of grabbed onto these ideas. And so I think particularly the stereotype of the Japanese anime schoolgirl, I think that has been, in like an IG that's been floating around and feels appropriate for Smash only, to be honest.
Feels justifiable for Smash, but also achievable
100%
at a low
achievable.
Cost, low effort. Yeah.
We have pieces that we can definitely draw upon and then without having to go all out because we also cannot compete with those professional cosplayers. Like, let's be real. We're not trying to.
No. We're just putting a bit of flair into our outfits, and you know I have a million plaid skirts.
No, you do.
So it's time to deploy them.
I have to come to you, to be honest. Yeah. Yes, accessible. And then also just sort of like partaking a little bit in that atmosphere, I think will be really fun. Mm.
People who just really, really love and are passionate about something, it's always fun to be around them. Yeah, I agree.
And you know, there'll be like lots of events happening as well, so there'll be lots to see. It's not just for me. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Yeah, like people just like send us recommendations for animes to watch because
I would love to hear more. Or
I just like don't know. I need guidance. Well, I think that concludes our anime corner.
Yes, reflections on our past selves, but. So I guess what we were actually going to talk about this week was Moonshot, which weirdly enough, I don't have as much to say. So Moonshot, I think we saw, Moonshot starring Lana Condor, so from To All the Boys, Love Before, and then Cole Sprouse from Riverdale, but also Life of Cody and Zach, or Sweet Life of Cody and Zach.
It's Zach and Cody, excuse me.
Okay, not Cody and Zach, sorry. I don't know who's who, but Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Yeah.
And then this trailer was, you sent me a tweet with this trailer in it and it looked absolutely crazy and made us want to watch it immediately. So what did it live up to?
Put it on the list.
Live up to what you'd hoped.
Well, so basically the story is of, it's set in the future, like 2049, something like that. And there are two people go to Mars, like it's just a thing now.
Earth is dying.
Future. Earth is dying. People will be running away to Mars. Jeff Bezos vibes. And essentially, Lana Condor's character goes to Mars to meet her boyfriend, and then Cole Sprouse's character sneaks aboard, and he also wants to go to Mars and explore. And there's that whole, oh, they have to hide, and oh no, they have to live in one room. What's gonna happen? Will they? Won't they? That sort of drama. So it looked very cute, and I think there's a lot of charm that comes from Lana Condor, because I think she's in general just like a very sweet person to watch when she's acting. But I feel like I was like hoping for space romance, that sort of thing, but there was like so little space. Do you agree with that?
It's little space, and I want to say little romance as well. It's a strange setup, which I think we'd expected. I think I would have liked it to have taken that on board and just like run with the whole space thing. Like, I think that could have been more fun. But instead, I think a lot of the movie takes place on the spaceship.
Yeah.
And they're not really doing anything that's specifically space related as well.
They literally just at one point go on like a spacewalk or something. But apart from that, yeah, it's on the ship. But the ship just looks like a hotel or something like that. Like, there's nothing inherently spacey about it. So I feel like the trailer, so much of it was about, wow, this is set in space, but you don't really get to explore space that much. So
yeah.
And even it pretty much doesn't even look that futuristic. Like, they added a robot here and there, but it really could be like now. There's nothing that makes me go, wow, this is them imagining life in 2049.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. It just feels like it just happens to be on board this ship thing.
Mm. Like a cruise ship. It just feels like it happens on a cruise ship.
Like uniforms though.
Mm. Yeah.
I think what this movie suffers from is kind of similar to what we were talking about when we discussed I Want You Back, which there's such a solid friendship forming that it's kind of hard to see like any romance blossoming from it. And at the end where you're like, oh, by the way, they like each other. It's like, well, I didn't see it. If I didn't see it, then it didn't happen right. Like, we see like a genuine friendship forming, you know, this interaction is kind of cute. But I think I would have liked to have made that a little bit more obvious, where they were like obviously like had a crush on each other rather than like, yeah. Because I think it has a similar setup in which they're both into space to get their significant others, I guess, in Lana Condor's review. Like, it's her boyfriend who is on a ship on Mars and she doesn't know when he's going to come back. And then for Cole Sprouse, it's this girl that he like met once.
Like for one day.
Yeah, for one night. They had the most amazing night together. You know, the most
allegedly.
Best conversation, whatever. And then he was like, you know what? I'm going to definitely go to Mars for her. Even though it had been set up that he wanted to go to Mars for his own personal reasons, right? Like, he's sitting up as being like, oh, he's tried 37 times or whatever to apply to go to Mars. He doesn't have the money, but he like has the passion. But then suddenly it's the girl that's going to Mars where he's like, oh, that's the reason why I'm going to go.
Yeah. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, they kind of set it up as two very different people. So Lana Condor's character is more uptight. She has like aerophobia, so she's scared of flying, and that's what's kept her grounded on Earth. She's a bit more serious. She's a type that makes lists. She's career focused. She knows exactly what her 5, 10, like 20-year goals are, that sort of character. Whereas Cole Sprouse is a bit more fun, loosey-goosey, just like thinks about the short term, maybe not the long term. And, you know, they just like, it's them playing off each other and him being annoying and chatterboxy and she's like, shut up and all that. But I agree that it really just, I didn't feel like a spark that made me go, these people would be a couple and not just friends. It was just like, what is it between you? Like, you just seem like really good friends.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely like chemistry, but it's not like a romantic chemistry. It's like they can act well together in a scene and they play off each other well, but it's not anything you'd expect from, yeah, like a romance, like, or something that's being set up as a romance. I think that was like my main thing with it. It's just kind of like, well, where is this going then? Yeah, you almost like wouldn't mind if they had just ended up being friends, like same with I Want You Back. Like, I wouldn't have minded that so much. I think there is a bit more set up in here in which like they have to stay in the same room, so they're in close. He's just trying to hide him because he's like playing or something. And when he made a lot of jokes about being in the air ducts or traveling through the air ducts or something.
Yeah, I wonder with all the that whole setup of being in the same room as well, they could have just like built upon that and maybe had, I don't know, like scenes where they're in closer proximity and more aware of each other, something to indicate there's some sort of like attraction there to, you know, make it very clear this isn't just a friendship. Like they are drawn to each other in different ways that makes her feel tempted away from her boyfriend or like doubting herself, doubting that relationship, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't really have that. So it was just like solidly banter, like friendly banter. Yeah.
I think for like Lana Condor's journey, part of it is that she realizes that she's got all these plans that she makes for herself, and the realization and kind of that journey that she goes on is that she can do things for herself rather than doing something for her boyfriend who, to be honest, isn't really taking her goals into account.
This man.
Yeah.
Was just like, I'm just going to be in space for like an extra year. Oh, I'm just going to stay here a bit more. I was like, what?
Yeah, like she ends up realizing that, right? And then so part of it is that she realizes for herself and by herself that she like needs to take herself into account rather than it's because of this guy. And so like she's not having conflicting feelings because she has feelings for someone else. It's because these other factors that is
impacting
the journey rather than like relationship. So in a way, then it makes like that relationship feel sudden. Like she's not doing it for anyone, like she's doing it for herself, which is fine. But then to like set it up where they now have a relationship, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It feels rash, I guess. And I guess for his part of the story, he has always wanted to go to Mars. He's always wanted something more for himself. He still goes to Mars because of some girl. And then he goes back to Journey also for another girl. Like, it just feels like, well, what is his purpose, I think? Like, what is he actually striving towards? Because it kind of set him up as, like, you know, he loved Mars. He loved being – he wanted to go to that other world because he felt like his existence on Earth was, like, meaningless. Like – so, like, kind of, well, where does it put him in his storyline, I guess?
Yeah.
Just following people around.
That's true. I think they did Lana Condor's storyline a bit more solidly, like you said. Like, I kind of like that she discovered her own ambitions and values and prioritizing them. And I thought it was nice as well, maybe a bit different to other stories where she was like, no, I don't want to be in space. I want to come back down to Earth because her way of thinking is that we shouldn't abandon Earth. Like there's still hope there. Let's try and fix it instead of like leaving it to die and just running away to Mars. So I thought that was a nice way of looking at it, and her coming down to Earth and being like, I know how I can maybe contribute and change things. But yeah, for him, it was just like, I would have liked if while he was on Mars or like on that spaceship, he kind of discovered what he was good at or what he could do when he came back down to Earth. Like, I agree that he just kind of chased the girl and then in the end chased her back. But it was like, what's his actual – because he was sort of purposeless and just like wondering about before he went to Mars. But I feel like there would have been nice while he was on the spaceship for him to discover something about himself. Something.
Like a passion. Something.
A passion, yeah. Something to be like, I actually really want to do this and I find drive and I'm talented at this and I want to pursue and nurture this. But it was just sort of like – oh no, she went back down to Earth. Like, I need to chase her. Like, what are you good at? Like, what are you going to do when you come back down?
Yeah, they try to sell it like he's a good match for her because he will follow her rather than she follows him. I don't know. I think it should be both, to be honest. But anyway, so they kind of try to sell it that way, that he prioritizes her ambitions and goals because she's found them. I don't know if it sold it well, to be honest, because then, you just get this character on the side and it's like, well, realistically, we could do without you.
Yeah.
Like, she seems like she's going to be okay by herself. Like, it's, like, what's the point, really, of this, your existence, for like a phrasing.
And they also try to, like, slot in, I guess, a bit of commentary. So there is a guy, a genius, who invented space travel or made it possible for people to travel there more freely. And he's very much like an Elon Musk sort of Jeff Bezos character in the movie. But then it's sort of like, oh, he's actually a bit evil and this is all sort of corporate interests and it only benefits the rich who can afford to go to Mars and otherwise you're just stuck on Earth and dying. So they do try to slot it in a bit, but a lot of that just seems like last minute extra conflict at the end and not like properly explored. So it kind of feels like the romance wasn't done deeply, or like it wasn't done in depth, but then this wasn't done in depth. And it was just like overall, like it was cute. But then I like finished the movie. I was like, I have really nothing to say about this. Yeah, and like I don't think you'd go back to it.
No, definitely not. Like it didn't really leave like a very deep impact, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to the credit, Lana Condor, as you said before, she's very likable. She's very sweet. I would like to see her in more roles. I think this kind of role does suit her. It just needs to be more for her to be able to explore, like, within the movie. I think they should give her more material, to be honest. And then Cole Sprouse, I mean, he was fine. Like, no real complaints no about comment. Him. Yeah, no real complaints, if I'm honest. Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, I think she shines in every one of her scenes. Like, she's so watchable and you just want to see more of her.
Yeah.
I'm like, she needs more work. Someone I think who's her so. Agent. Like, do better.
Yeah, and she does so well in these movies where she, you know, plays these, like, lead female characters in, like, a rom-com. Like, she can hold the movie on her own, but she just needs better material, if I'm honest, like, better script.
And then just the one other comment is basically they show a couple of, like, they're all university, like, age kids, by the way. So they're at, like, college parties and stuff, and they're listening to Willow Smith and, like, Rich Brian. So it makes me laugh at the idea that in 2049 that'll be, like, old songs, like, oh, throwback. Let's put on Willow Smith. Do you remember? My mom used to listen to her.
Don't. I mean, I think we're already getting to the age where Backstreet Boys is vintage. Spice Girls is vintage. Yeah, it just makes me a bit sad. I get it. It's good music. I think it's funny too, because I always like to wonder, like, what will make it in the future as a classic. And I think even when we were growing up, like, you just kind of knew that Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Spice Girls, they're such a, like, pop culture phenomenon that you definitely knew that they were going to make it. I wonder now what it is, because we have so much going on. You know, I think back in the day, we only had like the radio. So whatever the radio plays, that's what everyone listens to, right? Right now we have like Spotify, so everyone listens to a whole bunch of different things.
That's true.
So yeah, it just means that everyone is more diversified, I think. Yeah, what will make it from 2022 as a classic in 2050.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, so much more diversity, not only in like genres, but also like languages and cultures, the music that we listen to now. It's wild.
Yeah, like it's accessible. It's the word of the day, accessible.
Wow, accessibility.
Globalization.
There was also this scene, they do try to like play into some of the rom-com tropes where, you know, for whatever reason, they have to throw a party on this ship and then Lana walks out in a dress and Cole Sprouse does a whole, oh, I can't take my eyes off her. Wow, she looks incredible. But when I was watching, I was like, oh, that dress?
She looks cute though. I think that's.
Then she said, I made it. And I was like, okay, I forgive you.
She looks cute. To be honest, the dress was, it's a standing dress. So like when there's a scene where she like has to lie down, like after the party, she's obviously really tired and she like lies down on the bed. And I was like, oh, it does not look good when you're lying down. So it's a standing dress. Just like, I think because it's a pleated, there's like big pleat in it. It just kind of like folded up and didn't really sit nicely against the body.
But it looked like it was made out of a goon bag. Like
potentially.
Off.
I mean, she's in space. I'm sorry, there's no silk.
That's what I mean. So when she first just appeared, I was like, oh, is that what people are wearing in 2049? Like, it's space because it's silver. But then when she was like, I didn't bring a dress, I had to make do and make something. I was like, okay, no, that's a pretty good effort for just finding stuff around a spaceship.
I'm sure natural materials are very hard to find or very costly in 2050.
Cotton only for the rich.
Yeah, exactly. It's polyester for the rest of you.
We're all just wearing oils and coal.
Or goon bags.
Goon bags. Oh my god. That'll be the Australian national uniform.
Goon bag
dresses. Yeah.
Pretty Lexia branded dresses for the formal.
Are goon bags recyclable? I assume not.
Depends on...
Are they a soft plastic?
Yeah, maybe it's a soft plastic. Depends what they're lined with, maybe. I'm not sure. It should be okay.
Love it. Recyclable and dress worthy.
I guess I do have a question for you. Just one.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
For little me. Go on.
Yeah. I want to ask you, purely out of curiosity, why is this movie called Moonshot? I'm failing to tie it together, to be honest.
I didn't even think we see the moon.
I don't know. Did I miss something? It's probably what I'm asking.
I don't know, because it's not even a play on words or anything, is it?
I think it's
shooting for the stars, but that's the stars, not the moon.
I don't know. Is it like just a reference to just like the going far away, like the moon, but not really the moon, like further than the moon, right? Because moonshot, yeah. I would assume the Earth's moon.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Yeah, but they're going to Mars, so it's not really relevant.
So a moonshot apparently means an extremely ambitious and innovative project.
Interesting.
Maybe because they're ambitious and they're like...
I mean, I get it from a definition point of view, but I think it's confusing when you call thing that's not about the moon but is about space.
Moonshot. And specifically, it's so much about Mars. Like, yeah. They're constantly talking about Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it explains it, but I still think it's a terrible name.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's just like, there's so many other things you could have called this movie. I wouldn't call it something that's kind of like vaguely spacey. Be like, it's the same thing. Like, it's not.
And Zach Braff is in this movie.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise when I saw him.
Like, is that Zach Braff?
Yeah. That was honestly a surprise.
Okay, well, now, I mean, I couldn't really answer your question. I'm sorry, but I have a couple of questions for you.
I mean, you did answer it, but I guess it's still question mark.
Not a satisfactory answer.
It's not a good answer.
So, first one.
By the way, I must preface this with saying I know absolutely nothing about space, but go on.
What year was the Hubble? Who invented the Mars rover? No, I don't know any of those questions.
I know.
Would you go to space in 2049 if we... suddenly are in a world where you can just like jump on a rocket, jump on a spaceship and go to Mars, would you go?
So in the movie, costs $1 million to go to Mars, right?
Yeah.
I think even with inflation raising whatever, I will not have $1 million. I just like could almost guarantee it. Like I won't be able to afford to go to Mars, whether I want to go or not.
Yeah.
But I would go.
Just pretend you can't afford it. You're a material girl. You have $2 million. So even if you go, you have $1 million to spare.
I love this future.
Yeah. Manifesting for you.
I guess it'll depend on a lot of things. At the moment, Mars isn't uninhabitable, right? Mm-hmm. But there's evidence of life. So, like, things can live there, but it's probably, like, some minute organism or whatever. Mm. I think I need to know... it's visitable, so I guess like it'd be a station or something, or they've terraformed it to be livable or whatever. I need to know that that is like safe to enter. I think also the other thing would be, well, what's there for me and what am I leaving behind?
Me and Ryan.
Can you guys not come?
Do you guys not have, I don't have $1 million.
Well, sad for you.
Because when we watch the movie, when they finally land on Mars, I look at what they're showing on screen. I'm like, Mars looks so boring. It was like a little town. It looked like a suburb. I was like, there's no mall here, clearly. Mm. Like, what am I supposed to do for fun?
Yeah. Yeah, like it depends on what's available on Mars. Like, if it's fun, then maybe. Like, if Earth's also fun, then that's like, you know what I mean? Like, if,
yeah.
I think the way they put it is that Earth is like really, really bad. So, like, yeah, obviously you'd want to go to Mars because Earth's so bad. If, like, it's a situation like that, then yeah, like, why would you want to stay here? Earth's dying, climate change.
But they also didn't really show how bad Earth was. Like, it looked all right.
It looked okay. From his diner, it looked okay. It just looked like a normal diner.
Yeah, and then the college students were having parties. It looked fine. They still had bushes. They still had trees. I was like, what's the problem?
I think it's just like the fact that it is dying. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Like, if you were to move to Mars, you'd be part of like this new development, I guess. Things aren't dying.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
and you have to die and be bored.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it really depends, like, yeah, what does it offer? Mm. You're leaving behind. What are the pros and cons?
Mm. Okay, so she potentially is going to Mars in 27 years.
It depends.
Maybe not. It depends when she's 56.
I have to reassess.
What do you think you'll be doing in 2049?
God, these questions are so hard. All right, let's do some maths.
You will be 56 years old.
Thank you.
I had it written here.
What would I be doing? Hopefully living with some pets. I feel like I'm always going to answer these questions similarly. Like, what would you do with $1 billion? Buy some pets. What are you going to be doing in 50 years? You know, living with pets. It's a simple dream.
If you could do anything in the world, pets. Jeannie granted your wish, pets. She's a consistent gal.
It's an honest living. I don't know, like, probably, I don't know, what will the world offer? Will we have, like, flying cars or something? I feel like that was meant to happen, like, 2020 or whatever, 2015, I think it was, according to Back to the Future. So if we have that, yeah, sure. I'll be flying in a car with my pets.
We'll be living like the Jetsons. Zooming around.
Hopefully, still healthy enough to be traveling.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would hope for. Like, being, like, not quite retired, but kind of maybe on long-term leave. Well, like, long service leave. Is that
long service? Like,
yeah, I want to be on long service leave.
That is a lofty goal. Okay, cool. Okay, we see you. What am I doing? Oh, my God. Mm. Yeah, I want pets as well.
Throwing this back at you. See, it's a good answer.
I just want to be somehow I've come across a lot of money, so I've retired and I just like live with my pets doing nothing.
Traveling.
Or just like lying in one spot and staying still, because you know how good I am at that.
Yes. Oh my goodness, she's so good. It's amazing.
Well, we can be on our next career trip.
Maybe.
56. Well, getting another tattoo.
Still going to cafes, drinking ice long backs.
Yes, please.
Shopping on Hongdae Street. Yeah, getting that final tattoo for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Still wearing pleated skirts and vests because I can't give up on it.
Still shopping at Glassons.
Amen. It's the future I want.
Sounds great.
Great. Okay. Other question. What's your favorite planet?
I mean, I'm going to have to look at what planets there are to choose.
Do you have one? I assume not based on that answer.
I want to say Jupiter, and the only reason why I say that is I think, no, never mind.
Actually, I can adapt that question.
Never mind. I take it back. I don't have a favorite. Maybe Earth.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite Sailor Scout then? That's somewhat related.
That one I can give more thought to. Okay, I will. Oh, this is difficult. I do have ones that I favored for sure.
Let me double check to make sure I don't embarrass myself. Which one that I like? I think I liked Venus.
Yes. Orange one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Venus because she was pretty. And yeah. I also liked Mars.
Me too. I literally just opened Mars. Also pretty. And she was a bit of a sassy one, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a little feisty. And what I really liked about her was that out of all the Sailor Scouts, she had different shoes. She wore like stilettos, like shoes rather than like boots like the rest of them. So I felt like that really made her look distinct as well.
Oh, yeah, I see. Mm. And I liked her red skirt as well.
Of course you did.
Okay, love it. So our favorite planets are officially Mars and Venus.
Mm.
Based on this. Last question. Do you know the order of the planets?
Absolutely not. I wish I could say I knew, but I do not. I think this came up in a question, like a trivia, like what's the closest planet to Earth? And I literally like didn't know. And I still don't know, even though I listened and someone said the answer. I still don't know. It learned. Like Saturn or something? See,
no, it's definitely not. So the way I remember it is the memory device, mnemonic, I think, is it called? So it's my very excellent mind just simply understands nine planets.
I never learned that.
Really?
That's why I can't remember
the order. The Australian education system.
Ooh, failed this one. Failed this. Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Correct. So Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune.
Neptune, and then Pluto, not it's really not a planet. Planet. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
What did you
what
have
are your... oh, yeah?
Pluto when Pluto was a planet? It wasn't like a word for it.
Just simply understands nine planets.
Oh, so now it's just nine.
Just understand nine.
Yeah.
And yeah, what are your thoughts on the exclusion of Pluto from the planet clique? Should it be brought back?
No comment.
No comment. She doesn't want to be cancelled. Cancelled by astronomers.
I mean, what is there to say about that? Like, they said it's not a planet. Like, I'm not here to argue against scientists. If it's not a planet, it's not a planet. You know what I mean? Like, okay. It is what it is.
Well, those were my hard-hitting questions, so this interview is over.
Oh, my goodness. I was, like, sweating from the, like, anxiety of the questions because I'm like, I have no clue.
Wait, do you know the name of the first dog that went into space?
No, I don't. Do you?
Laika.
Cute.
That's my trivia backup. Like, one day I'm just like waiting for it to come out at a trivia night and I can just be like, me. Laika.
That's a good one though.
Yeah,
like Laika the camera.
No, it's like Laika.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be good to like know things like that. Yeah, just for like trivia, like fun facts. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll help you one day.
Believe
it does.
Yeah.
No such thing as too much knowledge.
Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for indulging me. And I feel like I learned a lot about you.
Did
At
you?
At least we have the same favorite Sailor Scouts.
Yeah. Yeah. That I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's knowledge.
But wait, those are your favorite Scouts. So which one's your favorite outfit? Is it still Mars?
Outfit?
Mm.
I don't know. I think I was always partial to just Sailor Moon's outfit. Because, like, her hair and everything, like, she was the most, like, out there one.
Mm.
And she had the tiara, like, I don't know, I just like the whole thing fit of Sailor Moon. She had the best one to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's the most iconic. And also the blue and the red really,
incredible.
It's your standard Sailor costume, I guess.
Yeah, with the hair and the little gems and the boots, it looks so good.
It's cute. Yeah, for sure. Maybe you should dress up as Sailor Moon.
Wow. Not like sure. Go to Paddy's and buy a costume.
Mm.
That's too much effort. Well, great. I love that. We love space. And maybe you'll see us. Maybe we'll be podcasting from Mars. 2050? In the near future. Yeah.
The near future, for sure.
Future. Maybe. Who knows? Never say never.
Never say never. It's a good one.
I learned it from Justin Bieber.
I'm glad he taught you something.
What are we watching next week? Well, actually, what are we doing next week is probably the better question.
I was just about to correct you. I mean, we can be watching things, but we think we'll save that for another week because next week, what we have planned for you is very exciting. Well, it's exciting to us anyway. So we're inviting, invitation only,
third friend
in the pod, Ryan, just Ryan. So what are we doing? We're doing unpopular opinions. So Frances has curated a list for us. She scoured Reddit. Thank you. the resident Reddit forum viewer. Yes. She's our resident Reddit, Twitter, general internet scout.
I love being online.
She's an online gal. This is where I get most of my information, to be honest. There's a heavy reliance on you to partake in those online forums and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, unpopular opinions with Ryan, just Ryan, and us two as well next week.
Let us know what your favorite animes are.
And give us recommendations, suggestions. Yeah.
Let us know who your favorite Sailor Scout is.
Yes.
Mm.
There's only like a couple of them. Actually, I'm wrong. There's the Uranus and Neptune as well. They come late in the season, don't they?
And maybe you like the little pink one. Chibi? Yeah. It's a bit annoying.
It's cute.
Yeah. But annoying.
Your voice or?
Just in general. I think she was just being a kid though, so I can't blame her.
Yes, Shibby. So cute. I love her pink hair.
Yeah, her outfit on her fit, very good.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the time we meet again, Mike's Mike will have released his Glee video because it was promised earlier this week. Promised Monday, Tuesday, it's now Thursday. Still no sign of it.
I did check earlier this week to see if it had been released, but it has not.
Michael, what are you doing?
I was really excited to watch it as well. I think it's a good one.
But yes, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again. We'll squish up in the pod and invite an extra person. It's tight in here, but we'll make room.
It's getting a bit cozy.
Bit cozy for our liking. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, speak to you then.
Bye.
Bye.